This is your host, Danny, and this is Grammar from English Plus Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the last episode from Learn the English Tenses. We're going to continue talking about future tenses. Last time, we talked about the present simple and present continuous to talk about the future. Today, we will talk about will, shall, the future continuous, and the future perfect. So let me start with will. What do we use will for? Last time we talked about present simple. We use it for timetables. We use it for schedules. We talked about arrangements. We use present continuous. But what about will? What do we use will for? Which is the most common way, and everybody knows that will is used for the future. Will is the future, actually. And that's true. But you have to be careful, because it is not used in every situation when we want to talk about the future. We use will when we've just decided to do something. I use I will or I'll, I apostrophe double L, that's the short form of it, when we've decided to do something. When you say I'll do something, that means you announce your decision, something that you've just decided, not an arrangement. That's the big difference. When you talk about something that you already planned and arranged, that is something else. That is a plan you're talking about. You didn't know just right now that you're going to do this or that you will do this. Because if you just know, or if you just decide at the moment that you will do something, we use will. I'll give you a couple of examples. Oh, I left the door open. I'll go and shut it. So here, there is no way that you have planned to leave the door open so that you can say, I'm going to close the door, I'm going to shut it, or I'm shutting the door. There is no plan about this. You just noticed that you left the door open, so you decided at the moment of speaking that you will go and shut it. That is will. You're talking about decisions you make at the moment of speaking. No plans, no arrangements. Another example that happens a lot in restaurants, or maybe at somebody's home. What if the waiter or waitress comes to you and says, "What would you like to drink?" Well, of course, you might have an idea about this before, but it is not a plan or arrangement. It is just something you decide when you go to this restaurant. So it is a decision you make at the moment of speaking. So you might answer and say, I'll have orange juice, please. I will have orange juice, please. Another example. Did you call Max? Oh no, I forgot. I'll call him now. I will call him now. I just made a decision to call Max now because I forgot. And if you didn't say anything about it, I wouldn't have remembered. So here, it is very important to know the big difference. If you have any kind of plans or arrangements, that is for present continuous or be going to, which we will talk about in a little bit. But if you are talking about something or a decision that you make at the moment of speaking, that's where you use will. We usually use will with expressions like, I think I will, or I don't think I will. And here, let me tell you about something. Well, it is not exactly about the future, but we don't say, I think I won't, or I think I will not. You say, I think I will, or I don't think I will. That is just a note, because it's a common mistake. People might say, I think I will not. No, we don't say, I think I will not. You say, I don't think I will. I think I will, or I don't think I will. For example, I'm a little hungry. I think I'll have something to eat. Or, I don't think I'll go out tonight. I'm too tired. And if you look at these two examples, these are not plans. These are decisions that are made at the moment of speaking. I think I'll do that. I think I'll do this. I don't think I'll do this. I don't think I'll do that, etc. Now, one more note, and that has to do with will not. Because will not usually in spoken English becomes won't. And here, it might be confusing sometimes, especially if it is not pronounced correctly, because you might confuse won't for want. Want is something else. I want to go, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's want, W-A-N-T. But this one is won't. You have to stress the O, won't, because that means will not. So that is one way we can use will, but that's not everything. We can use will for other situations as well. Let me tell you about these situations. When you offer to do something, for example, the bag looks heavy. I'll help you with it. Now, at heart, this is a decision that you make at the moment of speaking, so it's kind of the same meaning. But it is useful to remember different situations we can use will in. So here, bag looks heavy, I'll help you with it. Or when you agree to do something. For example, can you give Tom this book? Sure, I'll give it to him when I see him this afternoon. I'll give the book to Tom when I see him this afternoon. So here again, it is a decision made at the moment of speaking. So that is the core meaning of will, but that is another situation where you can remember, yes, when I offer to do something, when I agree to do something, or when I promise to do something. Because at heart, it has the same meaning. But also remember, for offers, for agreements, or when you agree to do something, and for promises. For example, thanks for lending me the money. I'll pay you back on Friday. I promise. You don't have to say I promise, but the meaning is I promise. Or I won't tell anyone what happened. I promise. Well, that is usually the promise that you can't keep because you start itching to tell everyone what you saw. But anyway, at least linguistically, you promise that you won't tell anyone what happened. Now, we also use won't, which is will not, to say that somebody refuses to do something, which is a little bit different. It's not exactly future. It has a specific meaning. For example, I've tried to give her advice, but she won't listen. She won't listen. That means she refuses to listen. And we can use it for things as well. We can say, the car won't start. Now, of course, the car cannot refuse. The car is a machine, but it is kind of like the meaning. And we can use it here. The car won't start. That doesn't mean it's for future. The car won't start like saying the car refuses to start. So that is won't. And will, we can use it not only to talk about the future as well. We can use it to nicely ask people to do things. For example, will you please turn the music down? It's too loud. It's a nice way to ask people to do things. Will you please do this? So, in all these examples I talked about, except for the last two examples I gave you, will is used to talk about decisions you make at the moment of speaking. So, do not use will to talk about what has been decided or arranged before. For example, you don't say, I'll go on holiday next Saturday. No, we don't say that. We don't do that. Will and next Saturday, that means there's a plan or there's an arrangement. And here, you don't use will. You say, I'm going on holiday next Saturday. Or you don't say, for example, I will meet Kate tomorrow morning. Because that has been decided before. So you don't use I will meet Kate tomorrow morning. You say I'm meeting Kate tomorrow morning. Or as we will see a little bit later in this episode, we can say I'm going to meet. That's okay as well. So that is about will. Let's talk a little bit about shall. Well, I will have to be honest with you. Shall is a little bit old-fashioned. Although it's a little bit formal and old-fashioned, you can still use it. Now, we use shall mostly in the questions, shall I and shall we? We don't usually use it as I shall do this or I shall do that, except you're talking about something that comes from the time of Shakespeare and earlier, because that is a little bit old. We don't use it anymore, especially in everyday language. And even shall I and shall we, it's a little bit formal, extremely polite sometimes. But you can use extremely polite. That's not a bad idea, by the way. Anyway, we use shall I or shall we to ask if it is okay to do something or to ask for a suggestion. For example, shall I open the window? Like, I'm saying, do you want me to open it? But I'm using a very polite form of this question. Instead of saying, do you want me to open the window? We can say, shall I open the window? Well, you choose who you use shall with. If you're talking to a person that you really want to be polite to, an older person, I'm not going to say an important person. We are all important, by the way. Nobody is more important, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you might choose to be a little bit more polite than usual, so you can use that. Instead of saying, do you want me to do this? You can say, shall I do this? Which has the same meaning, but it's much more polite. Or, I've got no money. What shall I do? Now here, of course, the more common way is what should I do? Should is used a lot more than shall in this situation, but we can still say what shall I do? But I will give you an example that it's still used commonly. Shall we go? Shall we go? And the person can say, for example, just a minute, I'm not ready yet. So here, we use it a lot when we say, for example, let's, especially with let's. When we say, for example, let's go, shall we? Now here, when you say, let's do something, shall we? Shall we is still used in this specific example today. It's not just used to be very polite or whatever. It's very common to use shall after let's. Or even if you don't say let's, you can use shall. Shall we go? It's like saying let's go, shall we? So it's kind of the same thing. Here is a very common use of shall. But apart from that, it's just to be extra polite. Because we have alternatives most of the time, especially when we talk about should, for example. Should is used a lot more commonly than shall. And one more thing I have to tell you about shall, that normally we use shall only with I and we. We don't use it with he, she, etc. So just keep that in mind. So with that being said, let me move now to the next point I want to tell you about, and that is a very important point, to be honest, the difference between will and be going to, because these are the two most common ways to talk about the future, and they are different. So that's coming next. Stay tuned. So, to understand the difference between will and be going to, let's take a look at these examples. For example, Sarah comes to Helen and tells her, let's have a party, a new idea. And Helen says, that's a great idea. We'll invite a lot of people. So, when Helen says, we will invite a lot of people, the decision is new. She's just announcing a new decision. The party itself is a new idea. So here, Helen uses will. But then later that day, Helen meets Max. And Helen tells Max, Sarah and I have decided to have a party. We are going to invite a lot of people. Now here it's different. We use he be going to when we want to talk about things we've already decided to do. Helen had already decided to invite a lot of people before she spoke to Max. That was not a new decision she was announcing. She did not decide at the moment of speaking. She had already decided, and she was just telling Max about that. We are going to invite a lot of people. So that is the main difference between will and be going to. Be going to, it's pretty much like present continuous for the future. There is only a slight difference. If it is a plan, just a plan, you use be going to more often. If it is an arrangement, everything is arranged and there's an appointment, etc., we use the present continuous more often, but that doesn't mean that they cannot be used interchangeably in most cases. So to understand that even better, let me give you a couple more examples. Now I will start with the same sentence, but the reply to this sentence is going to be different. And because it is different, one time we're going to use will and the other time we're going to use be going to. For example, let's say somebody comes to you and says, Gary has been trying to contact you. And what if you don't know about that? It's news for you. You might answer, has he? Okay, I'll call him. Has he? That means you didn't know about that before. You've just learned about it and you've just decided to call Gary. So here I will call him. I didn't know about that. I have no plans, obviously. But what if you know? You can say, yes, I know. I'm going to call him. Yes, I know. That means, yes, I learned about that earlier and I decided earlier to call him. So here in this case, I'm going to call him. And here we come back to the idea that I keep saying over and over and over. Grammar, especially tenses, is not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what you mean. Because here, when you say, I'm going to call him, that means you know. You already know. You already know because you made up your mind, you made a plan, etc. If you just say, okay, I'll call him, that means you didn't know about that and you've just decided at the moment of speaking. So it is a tool for you to express yourself in any way you want. It is liberating. Learning about the tenses liberates you. It lets you express yourself better. Let me give you another example. Let's say somebody comes to you and says, Anna is in hospital, and you don't know about that. Really? I didn't know. I'll go and visit her. I will go and visit her. So here, you didn't know about that. You've just decided, I will go and visit her. But what if you know about that? It's obvious now, right? Yes, I know. I'm going to visit her this evening. Yeah, I learned about that. Somebody told me about that. And I decided to go and visit her. So I'm telling you now about my plans. I'm going to visit her this evening. So that is the main difference between using will and be going to. But let's talk about another aspect, especially we're talking about the future. And when we talk about the future, we cannot avoid talking about predictions. We use the future to talk about predictions. Maybe not all the time. Yes, we focused on plans because that is used more commonly, but we also use the future to talk about predictions. So what if we want to predict the future? Can we use will or be going to? Well, actually, we use both. We use will and be going to for future happenings and situations. Now, we can say, for example, I think the weather will be nice later. Or, I think the weather is going to be nice later. Another one, those shoes are well made. They'll last a long time. Or, the same example, those shoes are well made. They're going to last a long time. So here you can say, well, if they are exactly the same, why don't we just stick to one and forget about the other? Well, because there is a slight difference. Grammatically, there's no problem. You can use will, you can use be going to, it's up to you. But it is up to you to decide how sure you want to sound. When we say something is going to happen, we believe this because of the situation now. We have information, we're kind of sure, we're kind of certain this is going to happen. That's why we use be going to. We feel confident this will happen. Because what is happening now shows that something is going to happen in the future. For example, look at those black clouds. It's going to rain. Now, in this case, it's kind of awkward to say it will rain. It will rain. I mean, look at those clouds, man. It doesn't take a genius to know that it's going to rain. So for sure prediction or for certain predictions based on facts, based on what's happening now, we usually use be going to. However, if you're just talking about predictions that are not based on facts or that are not based on situations that are happening right now, we usually use will. So again, it's up to you. What do you want to sound like? Do you want to sound certain of your predictions, or you just want to give a prediction? You don't want to be held responsible for your prediction. And here, if you just say will and somebody comes back to you and tells you, you told me that this team was going to win, you say, I just told you that they will win. I just predicted. I have no facts. I didn't know about it. It was just a prediction. But if you say they are going to win, you sound certain. You sound sure of what you're talking about. It's like you have some kind of insider information or whatever it is. So here, it's up to you to use will or be going to for future predictions. But the slight difference between them is that when you use will, it's just a prediction. It may happen. It may not happen. After all, you're not a fortune teller. You can't tell what will happen in the future, right? That is what you want people to feel. That's what you want to sound like. But if you want to sound like a confident person, yes, a prediction, like for example, say you're working in some financial markets or in the stock market, something like that, and you want to sound pretty certain of your prediction, so you might want to use be going to, because you are predicting the future based on facts, based on solid data that you have. It's not just a prediction, okay? So that is the main difference between will and be going to when we want to talk about future predictions. And now let's move on to talk about the very last point in today's episode and in our series Learn the English Tenses, and that is the future continuous and the future perfect. They're not used very commonly, but we still need to talk about them since they are the last two tenses we need to talk about before we wrap up our Learn the English Tenses series. That's coming next, so stay tuned. So to start talking about the future continuous and the future perfect, let's imagine a situation. Let's say that you are in front of the cinema or a movie theater, and there are people who are standing in line to get into the cinema. That is what's happening right now. People are standing in line to get into the cinema. That is present continuous, of course. But what about half an hour from now? If you want to talk about what will be happening half an hour from now. Half an hour from now, the cinema will be full. Everyone will be watching the film. I mean, that's not even a prediction. That is something that is going to happen. You know that. But you're not talking about what is going to happen. You're not making a prediction. You're just telling me what will be happening half an hour from now. But what about 3 hours from now? The movie will be over. So what can we say? The cinema will be empty. The film will have finished. Everyone will have gone home. Well, more or less a prediction, yes. But you're talking about something that will be finished by that time in the future. That's the future perfect. Let me give you some more details and more examples so that you can understand better. Let me start with the future continuous. I will be doing something. That's the future continuous. That means I will be in the middle of doing it. For example, this time next week, I'll be on holiday. I'll be lying on the beach or swimming in the sea, etc. You're telling me about this time next week or this time next year, whatever. I will be doing this. I will be in the middle of doing something. So it is like the continuous, like the present continuous, like the past continuous. You just pinpoint a moment and then you talk about what's happening around this moment. If this moment is now, so that's present continuous. If it is in the past, that's past continuous. If it is in the future, like in this example, it's future continuous. And for future continuous, you will need to use will, be, and the ing form of the verb that you want to use, or the main verb, obviously. Let me give you another example. You have no chance of getting the job. You will be wasting your time if you apply. So that is also another example of talking about what will be happening if you apply and when you apply. Now let's compare will be doing and will do. Don't call between 7 and 8. We will be eating. I'm telling you about this time in the future. What will we be doing in this time in the future? We will be eating. But another example, let's wait for Liz to arrive and then we will eat. That is something else. I'm not talking about something that's going to be continuous. I'm just talking about something that will happen when Liz arrives. Now, just to understand the whole thing, I'm going to give you an example from the past continuous, present continuous, and future continuous, and you will see how similar they are. Let's start with the past continuous. At 10 o'clock yesterday, Tina was in her office. She was working. That is, the moment was pinpointed in the past. She was working. What about now? It's 10 o'clock now. She is in her office. She is working. That's present continuous. And use the same, the very same example, but in the future. At 10 o'clock tomorrow, she will be in her office. She will be working. So you see, that's the future continuous. It's not complicated, but it is not used a lot because the situation doesn't occur a lot. We don't usually talk about these situations, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we have to. Sometimes we need to talk about things like that, and that is your tool for the job. Future continuous. What about the future perfect? Well, the future perfect is even less common than the future continuous, but we still use it, especially if you want to assert that an action will be complete before a certain time in the future. I will have done something. That's the future perfect. I will have and past participle of the main verb. I will have done. That's the future perfect. That means it will be complete before a certain time in the future. For example, Sally always leaves for work at 8:30 in the morning. She won't be at home at 9 o'clock. She'll have gone to work. I know this example is silly, and nobody is going to use this kind of thing. This is stupid. This is just to show you the sequence of time and what do we mean by the future perfect. But I want you to think about it, to talk about future actions that will be complete before a certain time in the future, and you might want to use that when you want to make promises. For example, maybe somebody gave you a task and they want you to finish this task as early as possible. They're going somewhere. And you promise these people, by the time you get back, I will have finished the task. I will have finished whatever the task is. That is common. That can be used. And that is very strong, actually. I will have finished it. Not I will finish it when you come back. When you come back, I will finish it. That means I will wait for you to come back. Then I will finish it. So here, it is necessary to use the future perfect because you're promising this person by the time you come back or by the time or by next year or by whatever. I will have done this. I'm not telling you I will do this. That means I will wait until this time to do this. No, I will have done it. I will have made $1 million by the time I'm 40. Well, that's not going to happen because I'm already 40 and I haven't made $1 million anyway. So here, you can make predictions like that, but to stress the fact that certain actions will be complete by this time, we use the future perfect. Let me give you a couple of examples with the present perfect, future perfect, and past perfect so that you can compare between these three perfect tenses. For example, Ted and Amy have been married for 24 years. Well, that's obvious. They've been married, they're still married, so we use the present perfect. And we're talking about two points in time, from the past to the present moment. What about the future perfect? The future perfect relates two points, that is, from now to this point in the future. Next year, they will have been married for 25 years. The past perfect is linking two points in the past. For example, when their son was born, that's the first point, they had been married for 3 years, 3 years earlier. So two points in the past linked together, that's past perfect. But of course, today we're talking about the future perfect. Now that sums up everything I wanted to tell you about Learn the English Tenses. There's going to be more grammar in Lessons Plus coming soon on my website, EnglishPlusPodcast.com. This is your host, Danny. Once again, thank you very much. I'll see you next time.